Our scripture reading for this Thanksgiving Day is taken from one of the letters of Paul, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. This is on page 1238 in the Pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I know that lots of people are having their Thanksgiving gatherings today. Some people told me already that, yeah, we're getting together with brothers and sisters and grandchildren and parents and all that. Looking forward to some of us did that yesterday. And actually, Joanne and I spent the afternoon and part of the evening yesterday in London with our two sons and their families, their wives and their kids, and had a really lovely time. It's fun, actually, being in gatherings like that and speaking, you know, to us grandparently types, because we watch our kids do the things that we used to do. Say to their kids the things that we used to say to them. And it makes you smile and it makes you feel grateful to God. I felt a lot of thanksgiving. One of the things that I saw our kids, our sons, doing to their sons and daughters was to teach them the niceties, the polite things that are part of life. These little kids, 2 years old, where they're teaching them, you have to say please. If you want something, you don't just grab it, you say please. And after you receive it, there's an important little couple of words that you should say after you receive what you've asked for, and that is thank you. So they're teaching them, please, can I have that? Thank you that I've received it. And it is absolutely right, of course, that we teach our little ones to do this. I've started seeing how Morgan is the eldest of our grandchildren that were there yesterday, and she's become a really good thank you and pleaser. She asks all those things, and it has become for her, because she's been raised right, she knows to say that. She doesn't have to be prompted now every time, say, what do you say? she just is starting to say those kind of things and meaning them. The littler ones, of course, you know, Henry, He's such a rascal, that kid. He has this kind of evil gleam in his eye that doesn't always mean he's going to say thank you, but it's more just to get a rise out of me, I think. When they first are taught to say please and thank you, I think that they're actually just words, that this is a ritual in their mind, that you, when you want something, the magic word is please, and in order to maintain good harmony for some reason, you have to say thank you, and they don't really understand the concept at the very beginning. But you can see when there's that point, when lights start to come on, where the meaning of these words becomes real to them, and they grasp the concept, and it becomes not just words, but an honest expression of the emotion that the blessing has brought about in them. And so we teach our kids, don't we? I've been listening carefully to people at prayer, and in my line of work, I have the privilege of frequently being in the place where people are praying. You know, I often go to meetings where the meeting will start with prayer. I know if you're working for the city government, or if you're meeting with suppliers in your business, you probably don't always start your meetings with prayer. But in a church gathering, a church committee or whatever, we do. And I've been paying attention to the ways that people pray. And what I have observed is that our prayers are dominated by thanksgivings. That as we pray, we say, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be involved in this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that makes us want to do this. We thank you, Lord, for the people we can serve. We thank you for, and it goes on and on like that, as a prayer, and say, and now bless us as we do the work we're called here to do. We don't begin our prayers very often at all with our lamentations or the needs that we have. We do talk about that. We do bring up our concerns for our brothers and sisters, our worries for our children. We don't talk about immediately the tragedies in the world. Those come up later in our prayer. But it almost always starts with thanksgiving. And I think that's good. I think that shows a basic orientation of our hearts. It's funny, even the people that have the most to complain about, I visit with people that are very sick, people that have tremendous burdens that they carry. And when I speak with them, they almost always say, yes, but, even though, yeah, this is hard, and this is a worry, and this is a terrible thing in my life, but I have so very much to be thankful for. I'm so grateful for this and that and the other thing, and yeah, this is a problem, but the Lord will carry me through it. I am more thankful than I am burdened or troubled. Well, those kind of people are part of a tradition that includes the Apostle Paul. We read together from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and 1 Thessalonians is probably the oldest bit of writing in the New Testament. It was written before any of the Gospels were put together. It was written before any of the other letters were written. It is almost certainly the first words put to parchment that became the New Testament. Excuse me. And he wrote it to people who had quite recently become Christians. He wrote it probably like in the mid-40s. So Jesus ascended to heaven, maybe the year 33 or so. And 10 or 12 years later is when this letter was written. So these people had not been Christians for a super long time. They were very new to the faith. They were servants of the Creator of the universe, and they were glad to give their allegiance to Jesus the Christ and to claim Him as their master. But once they did, you know what happened? Trouble came upon them. Persecution became their experience. They lost jobs. They had financial hardship. They lost friends. There was all kinds of trouble that came on these Christians in Thessalonica because they took the name of Christ. And Paul wrote this to them as a man who had experienced lots of trouble because he too took on that name. We read in the gospel, in the letters that he wrote of times of persecution, times that he was mocked, times he was beaten up, times that he had stones thrown at him with the purpose of killing him. Even one time it says that they threw so many stones at him, they thought he was dead, but he got up and he walked away. I thought we killed that guy. That was his experience. But as we read this text together, do you notice that Paul mentions all that distress, all that hardship, almost as an aside? This is an offhand comment. The overwhelming majority of his words are a litany of all the things that he is grateful for. He's thankful for the faith and the love that resides in the hearts of the Thessalonian congregation. He's thankful for the pleasant memories that he carries with him because of them. He's thankful for the continuing fellowship that they share, that endures even though there is a great distance between them. He's thankful for the encouragement they receive from each other. He's thankful for the continuing growth of faith and obedience to the Lord. And he says he is thankful that God has promised that Jesus will return and draw all his people together. And that's what it should be like for us too. We have our own litany of thanksgiving as we think about all the things that the Lord has done, all the things the Lord has given, all the blessings that are ours because we have been enveloped into the family of God. We're going to have the opportunity to express our individual thanks and gratitudes towards God. And as we do, we are showing that there is some spiritual maturity among us and that we are very aware of the source of the blessings that He has given. We have much to say thank you to the Lord our God. I'd like to have us sing. If we can sing a song of praise the Lord as we prepare to share our own thanksgivings, let us sing a song of praise.